Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, yes. Behold, all things have become
new.
Come on,
declare it.
We find what makes us come alive, a sacrifice.
Thank you. love is strong, it is furious. Love is sweet, love is wild, and it's waking up tonight. Every voice sing it out as love is deep. Love is deep, love is wild, and it covers us. Love is fierce, love is strong, it is furious. Love is sweet, love is wild, and it's waking us to life. Come on, give him praise. Yeah. It is the love of God that transforms our life. It's not going to church, though church is good, church is important. It is the love of God that drew you. It's his kindness that leads us to repentance. It's not his judgment. It's not his rules and regulations. So we sing this next song. It's called The Outrageous Love of God. You may have came in this place this morning. You could tell I have really messed it up this week. Aren't you glad that God doesn't judge us on performance? I'm not saying that we go out there and do whatever we want to. The grace of God is not a license to sin. The grace of God now gives me what I need and the power I need through the Holy Spirit not to. And not only the thing, it's not about not to, it's I don't want to. But even if you have, there's a love that will wash. Thank you. Together as a church, one voice, one body. Come on, lift it up.
Outrageous is how beautiful, Lord.
How beautiful. Sing it out too.
Glorious, how outrageous is your
thank you.
scripture says in Ezekiel chapter 36. I'm going to quote it. I'll read it to you like I read it to myself. God speaking to me in my office riding down the road. This is how I read it. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. Not you're going to be, not you may be, but you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new, not an old, not a beat up, not a used, not a broken, not one that's been scarred, not that one that's been cut up and sewn back together, but I will give you a new heart. And I will put a new spirit. I will put a new spirit. Pneuma. Pneuma. That's the breath of life in you. I will take the heart of stone. That old heart that was angry, that was bitter, that was unforgiving, that held on to so much stuff. He said, I will take that heart and I will get rid of it. And I will give you a heart of flesh that beats for me, that has a passion for me. I will give that to you. I will put my spirit within you and do what? And cause you to walk in my statutes, not in your power, but by his spirit. And you will keep my judgments and do them. And verse 28 says, then, and only then, you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you will be my people, and I will be your God. You are children of God. You're not a victim. You're not an orphan. You are a child. And the child comes to his daddy with all confidence. And he says, I am no victim. Sing it out with her.
Says, remember that you, the Gentiles, the non-Jews, remember that at one time you were separate from Christ. You were excluded from Israel, and you were strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's where you were and that's who you were. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once very far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ.
Yeah.
I want you to know that sometimes you may think that you feel like you've done something or something's going on and that God's far away, that He's far away, I want you to know not only is God not far away, He's close, but He's brought you near.
Yeah.
Because of the blood of Jesus, He brought you close. He's not far away. The same God that makes the darkness tremble, the same Jesus who shed His blood to make you not an orphan, that you can say you're not an orphan, that you can say you're not a victim, you're more than a conqueror. That same God is close to you, and He's close right now. You know, when He said, "You've been brought near by the blood of Christ," I immediately had a picture in my mind sitting there. If you go to a big concert for somebody big, to sit in the back is one price. But the closer you get to the front, the more it costs. You know, front row seats for Beyonce, you're going to have to shell out some cash for that one. But immediately the scripture gave me a picture that the blood of Jesus has purchased us backstage passes to sit and dine with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We got backstage passes that we couldn't afford. So my encouragement is this. Don't be satisfied sitting in the upper deck. Don't be satisfied sitting up there. Saying, "Oh, this is close enough." Don't be satisfied in the upper deck when He's already paid for you to be backstage with Him, to be where He is. So right now, just to recognize the God who is near, I want everybody to just close your eyes. Let's sing this one more time.
I'm not a victim.
I'm part of the family now. God, we thank You, Lord, that You paid the price to bring us into Your family. That I'm not far off anymore, though I was at one time. I'm not far off anymore. And I'm close not because I did enough to get there, I earned my way there, but because what You did was enough to get me there. Thank You, God, that You wanted me to be where You are. You desired for me to be where You are. God, that I don't have to live as a victim, God, because You said I could be more than a conqueror no matter what I face in this life, God. And it's all because of You, Jesus. Thank You. Thank You for who You are. We celebrate today all that You've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, give Him a hand. Come on. I like that song. That song gives me juice. Woo! Well, I hope you're juiced this morning. You're excited to be here. We're excited to be here at Resurrection Life. Look, everybody's shivering. Got hand warmers, earmuffs. She dusted off winter jackets. Our bassist has on snow boots. You know what? It's a pleasant gift from April. Just enjoy it. Because you'll be sweating again. We'll all be back to sweating before you know it. I promise. I promise. Guarantee that. If you're a first-time visitor here at Resurrection Life, we want to say we are so glad you're here. We hope you feel welcome. Our honest prayer is that when you come in, you feel safe here. You know, you feel like you're at home. So if this is your first time, we'd ask you to go out the double doors in the back, turn to the left. We've got a gift we'd like to give to you, and it may or may not be a voucher for a funnel cake at the street fair. You know, I'm not saying it is, but I'm not saying it's not. And who doesn't like funnel cake? Woo! Yeah.
So let's give a hand for all of our first-time visitors. All right, let's take a look at our RLM Minute.
Today begins our week of no negativity. We're not simply asking you not to speak negative. We're asking you to have the same attitude that Jesus did and to speak life to everyone. Which is a good thing for the commercials, because this week, nobody's going to make fun of me. Nobody's going to harm me physically. No one's going to say anything that hurts my inner child or anything like that.
Todd, stop it. Listen, you're going to be fine. I'm telling you. You're a great guy.
Whoa, wait a minute, Lance. You know, lying is also a negative.
Oh, I'm speechless now. My weak shot.
Hey, guys, y'all pray for Lance.
I want to invite you to our Saturday Girls Day Out on the 14th of this month. We'll meet at the church at 7 a.m. We are headed to the farmer's market down in New Orleans. Then we'll maybe do a couple other things, but it'll be kind of free, whatever. We just want to be together, laugh, enjoy time together. So I want to invite you to make your plans to attend that.
God is big enough. His grace is big enough to handle it. His mercy is big enough. His love is big enough. His compassion is big enough. His character is big enough. His throne is big enough. Heaven is big enough. God can handle the frustrations of our hearts.
This year's Worship and Prophetic Conference will introduce our new friend, Pastor Ed Ivey from Florida. Make plans now for you, your family, and your friends to attend this year's conference.
The most powerful thing I believe that we do is our week of prayer and fasting. I want to encourage you to look at all the different dates of things that are going on and participate. But more importantly, I'm asking you to fast and pray. Fasting, denying the flesh, separating yourself from the flesh so that we can cry out in the Spirit and ask our miracle-working God to do miracles in all the pictures that are down in front and in our country, in our world.
Hey, if you're a boy in kindergarten through sixth grade, this Friday night at 5 o'clock, we have a night planned just for you. It's Nerf night. And all we're asking for you to do is bring your Nerf gun and sunglasses or protective eyewear. That's all you have to do. Hey, we'll see you here. Hey, how? Hey.
Turn to your neighbor, look him right in the eye and say, "You need the Holy Ghost." And now to deal with all the pride you had when you said that, look to your neighbor and say, "And I need him too." We need the Holy Spirit. It took a Pentecost to kick this thing off, and it's going to take another one to dust it off and get us right. It's going to be a better rain than the first one. We all give a head shake to the Holy Spirit. You know, we all say, well, we do need Him. We do need Him. But I'm just not really sure that we know how badly we need Him. Jesus Christ, I can say this without any problem. Jesus Christ died so we could have the Holy Ghost. He was anxious to get out of here. He actually saw it as an advantage to us for Him to leave and the Spirit to come. The Spirit dictates the context in which the truth is spoken. He makes it believable. So you don't have to argue with people. You don't even have to argue with yourself. I think one of the problems we have is about three things, three reasons why we don't know how badly we need the Holy Spirit. The first reason is well, we got Him. You know, every Christian has the Holy Spirit. You know that, don't you? Carnal Christians have the Holy Spirit. But I think what happens is that I believe how many of you ever received, or just putting it in slang, how many of you ever gotten a revy from God? A revelation from God. I mean, He turned a light on. It's amazing. I just want to say this right off the bat before I talk any further. If you get a revelation from God without becoming one, you missed the point. We have the amazing ability to take what God gives us that's supposed to transform us, because God never speaks His Word without creating something. And the Holy Spirit is the one that makes that creativity take place in us, because He's responsible for making the Word make us what it says. The Bible's not intended to inform you. The Word of God will make you what it says. I know you've been trying to live by it, but let me give better news. It'll make you live. It creates. Your faith is not what brings the Word to life. The Word brings your faith to life. The just live by faith. And so there are many people, you can tell, they're trying to quicken the Word by their faith. They're trying to make the Word come alive by their faith. That's not how it works. What we have, what we'll do is we'll take what God has given us to transform us, and we'll take it and use it as knowledge. We have the gift of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in our flesh. And so what God is giving us that should transform us and change us and humble us and make us like Him, we take and learn it and try to implement it and try to defend it and argue it. And people that don't agree with it, because we love resistance, it makes us stronger, you know. And so we bad about camping on what God tells us. Here's the reason why the Word of God in the original languages, in both Greek and Hebrew, the word for spirit and the word for breath are the same word. So what's that? Well, maybe God's trying to tell us something. Maybe you need the next move of the Spirit as badly as you need your next breath. And as often as you breathe. I mean, we'll take a revy, and like an old dog, we'll go bury that bone, and we'll chew on it, and chew on it, and chew on it. It's dry, the only reason it's wet, because we're slobbering all over it. What should transform us, actually, we wind up not with transformation. We get another denomination. That's how we got here. That's how the church got split over and over and over again. It's what the flesh does with revelations. And the last camp that got the last revy resists the next camp that gets the next revy. We have camp fights. It takes generations to get over that. And then another generation comes along that finally decides, you know, there might be a little bit more to it than that. They're not rebelling. And they're not dishonoring. They're just saying, you know, there might be a little bit more to that. And that little spark of hunger, God flickers another light, starts another fight. That's why it's taken us 500 years from a German monk named Martin Luther reading a book the church had had for 1,500 years, and the book of Romans, and he reads it, which to us is obvious what the book's saying, but to him it was a revelation that salvation is by faith only. And so now, 500 years later, we just had the charismatic movement. And the church is maybe figuring out the gifts, not only a big deal, but maybe healing could be part of the covenant. At least he ought to do it more than he does. It's not God doling this stuff out slow motion. He doesn't do that. He could have got us from Luther to here in a breath. It's us. We're camping. God's getting ready to break up camp. I mean, he's getting ready to disturb some stuff. You say, whoa, Brother Dan, wait a minute now. Yeah. Judgment begins with where? The house of the Lord. If the world's in the dark, the church ain't lit. God, the church needs to shine. We've been buffing the flesh long enough. Clay jars don't shine real well. Holy Ghost is going to light us up and turn us into a burning bush. The obvious thing about somebody that's lit by the Holy Spirit is when you look at them, you know it ain't coming from them. You're either a wick or wicked. Oh, it's all God. Put your arm down. I see the sweat ring. I think the second reason why we really don't know how badly we need the Holy Spirit, and this sounds kind of funny to us because I think, you know, the first thing the devil will do is get you to think you know something so you won't ever think you don't. The Holy Spirit can do stuff we don't know he can do. I know we all think we're experts on that, but we're not. I'm not. I've caught a whiff of it, but I'm telling you, all false religion that flies under the flag of the Christian faith. I'm not talking about all them other people out there now. I'm talking about false religion that flies under the Christian flag, calls itself Christianity. Listen to this carefully. All of that is built on a lie about something that God would do that we don't know he will do, so we try. The Holy Spirit can produce stuff in us that just... Well, let me just say, the Christian life, you know, is absolutely impossible without the Holy Spirit. It's easy with him. You know, he just puts fruit on you and you let it hang there. You don't produce the fruit. You just let it hang on you. Whole lot better than throwing fruit up in there and hoping a tree jumps under it. The Holy Spirit can take you past all of your best efforts to a place sweat will never bring you. He can take you to a peace that's so strong that it keeps you, you don't keep it. You know that little peace you have to keep petting on the head because it gets scared and shoving scripture down its throat like 90 miles an hour hoping it eats it? And it does real good to the next bump in the road, and then, oh. Then you have to pick the little wimpy sucker up and bless him again. Does your faith live off you, or do you live off your faith? There's a peace that passeth understanding. You never get your mind wrapped around it. It doesn't come because you understand something. It's something the Holy Spirit produces in you that's so strong, worry looks weird. Jesus said crazy stuff. He didn't say what we do, worry like crazy and try to have faith. He said, don't give any thought to what you need in your life. Huh? Too late, Jesus. Don't worry about what you need. Don't worry about your life. Your whole life? You mean every bit of it? Kids, grandkids, and as far as I can see, health. Don't worry about hell either. But anyway, you mean God can get you to the point to where you don't fret, sweat, or worry? Well, I got news for you. You can't walk with God if He doesn't. You can't love people if He doesn't. The Holy Spirit gives you such a sense of God's love that you have no fear. Perfect love. I thought it was perfect faith. You got to have perfect faith if you don't be scared. Good luck with that. The more you argue with your fear, the bigger the sucker gets. And so the Holy Spirit can do things. You know that He can act. You know that He's the only one responsible for changing you. And so we got to help Him, huh? No. If He helped you, if you were working, you'd think you helped. And He's not going to do that. Where in the Bible does it say if you try hard enough, He'll help you? Benjamin Franklin said God helps those who help themselves. God helps the helpless. Our problem is we don't like being that way. And so we try to be strong. And so God says, let me do that for you. Let me put this in. God can take us to level. Let me just say this. Boy, this is good because I'm telling you it's coming. God's going to begin to move in such a way that you're going to see young Christians get to places in few seconds and minutes and weeks that it took you years to get. And you'll be glad of it because you don't want them to go through what you went through. You won't be griping about them. I worked through the heat of the day and they got it for free and worked an hour. Let them have it. Double dose. Lay hands on me if you don't mind. The Holy Spirit can do things, I'm telling you, to make it to where walking in love is natural. Did you know He's actually come to change your nature instead of you wrestling with your old one? He's actually come to change your nature. You know what it means when you change your nature? You act natural then. You just act natural. It's natural for me to love people. Because I got a new nature. I think the other reason why we don't know, the third reason why we don't know how badly we need the Holy Spirit is we just have no... This is all in us. It's not rocket science. This is elemental stuff. I'll be glad when we get back down to the foundation so God can really start building things. But we don't really know what Jesus did. The majority of the church still believes that Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sin. I can tell by the eyes that are crossed that you still think that's yourself. Didn't He die on the cross? When He died on the cross, didn't He pay for our sins? Yes, He did. And the whole world sins. There's not a breathing soul in this world right now that isn't already forgiven for their sins. We make mistakes when we ask God to forgive us. And I think we have in our mind that God decides each time we ask Him, okay. God doesn't do that. Amen. He forgave you before you were born. Amen. Jesus Christ hauled all them sins off. And wherever he put them, God can't find them and he ain't looking for them. I'm telling you, this thing could actually get to be good news. It really could. And so he's taken all our sins away. There's nothing between me and my God. God's not holding a grudge. He actually believes in Jesus. He's got confidence in what Jesus did. You see, God wanted to be able to bless you. The only way God wants to bless, I mean, God wants to be able to bless you in a way that just amazing. And you could not give him a good enough reason. Now listen, you can give God, Job gave God reason to bless him. But not like God wanted to, really. Job was a good man. But God wanted to be able to bless you in a way that was impossible for you to do. So Jesus came down here and gave God the right, by what he did, gave God the right to bless you like he wanted to bless you in the first place. You say, well, how did he want to bless us? He wanted to bless you like you had never sinned. Wow. And you know, God sees you that way. He sees you absolutely, teetotally, 100% right with Him. All the promises of God are yes, and He said the yes. What do you say? Well, so be it. That is, if I hold my tongue right, pull my left ear lobe, and walk around in a circle three times and quote the four scriptures. No, no, no. It's a gift. Salvation is a... It doesn't speak of the person who receives it. It speaks of the giver. That's why you always stay thankful. I'm telling you, if you're just thankful for what God's done for you, you're selfish. Should you be thankful for what God did for you and has done for you and gave you and all? Yes, yes. But let me... Love is thankful for the power to bless. Love is looking for a way to give something away. God's so good, He asks you to do things and then gives you what it takes to do it. He's so good, He asks for things to come in your life and says, here, take it, I'll give it to you. You don't have anything to bring me. Let me give you something to bring me. The Holy Spirit is here to produce in you a proper response to the grace of God because you can't come up with it. Now you say, oh, no, 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 no. Now, come on now. Now, come on now. Well, let me tell you something. Your flesh cannot bear fruit. It eats fruit. Your flesh, yourself, Jesus called it self. Might help us if we looked at it that way. Yourself will eat God's love for lunch and ask for dessert. It can't, it might see that it, well, you know, God loves me. And I bet it loves them too. I'm going to try. You know what trying to love people is? It's a joke. If you're trying to do something, you know what it means? You ain't doing it. Where does it say in the Bible? You try to love them real hard. You throw in your 10% and I'll throw in my 90%. No, 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 no. What God actually did through Jesus is He took mercy and turned it into justice. You see, mercy is unjust. You know, by definition, mercy is unjust. In other words, you always have to keep in mind, if you want to appreciate mercy, you always have to keep in mind what you deserved. So, mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve, or you do get what you... Now, most people think that's grace, but that's not grace. That's still mercy. It's unjust. You have to be sin conscious to appreciate mercy. How many of you like mercy? Boy, I like it. I need it. But grace is a whole nother thing altogether. It's a new picture. Because what grace is not about deserving. It's about justice. You say, wait a minute. Now, Brother Dan, you're saying we deserve? Oh, no, no, no. You got the wrong word in front. It's not about we anywhere. It's not about what you deserve or don't deserve. Grace has nothing to do with what you deserve or don't deserve. You don't need sin consciousness to appreciate grace. You need son consciousness to appreciate grace. You have been... God has decided that Jesus deserves to get what He died for, and you're it. You're the prize. You're the inheritance. People talk about Jesus being glorious. I want a lot of the descriptions of what... Now, sometimes He appears pretty... But you know what He looks like to John? He looks like a lamb freshly butchered. Do you know He bears every mark of Calvary on Him right now and will forever? He's glorious. Well, if that's true, where's His glory? I'm looking at it.
That's right.
If you don't think God is heaven bent on seeing to it, you live up to everything Jesus Christ died for you to be, you don't understand anything about God's will. Because God is determined and the Holy Ghost is definitely set on your being transformed into the image of God. The gospel is not about God loving you. For God so loved the world, John 3:16 is not the gospel. It's why we have the gospel. The gospel is 1 John 3:16, which says, this is how we understand the love of God, that if He laid down His life for us, so ought we also lay down our lives for the brethren. Tell me that ain't out of your reach without the Holy Spirit. See, God's invited us to come into fellowship with Him to where we join with Him in loving this world. And He'll load us up with stuff to give them so that they know His goodness through us like Jesus, who went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with Him. It's the goodness of God that crushes men into repentance, not telling them they're going to hell. The church had more life in it, the world would know it was dead. But when they walk in and see stuff going on, they could pull off if they tried. Ain't nothing to it. So, we need the Holy Spirit desperately bad. And I just want to talk to you just for a few minutes. Not going to be long. This is just a snack here. Quite frankly, I can't get much deeper in this anyway. This ain't deep. This is shallow, foundational, basic Christianity. It's just your flesh will plead confusion when it don't like what it hears. It'll say, ooh, that's deep. No, it ain't. You just didn't like it. You'd rather be confused than committed. So let's look at three little verses that Paul writes to us in Galatians, the fifth chapter. The fifth chapter is the freedom. By the way, God never intended Christians to spend all their life getting free. This chapter starts, it was for freedom that Christ set you free. Paul's not writing letters to people that are in bondage trying to get them out. He's writing to people that are free trying to keep them that way. The positional truths are not there to get you free. They're there to keep you free so that you'll stay abiding in Christ while Christ is formed in you. That should have helped a bunch of us right there. Oh, well. So, Paul says this. He's talking about being free, and then he's talking about, man, they're just arguing and a fighting and a fussing. They're trying to go back under the... Now, I want to say something kind of funny here. He was talking to the Galatians about going back into bondage. These are Gentiles. They've never been under the law. They've been in pagan worship where you have sex with priestesses and do all kind of crazy sacrifices and goofy, gory, messy stuff. Bad stuff. But they're going back under the law, going under the law. And Paul says, don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage, because Paul saw that stuff and the law as just as bad. Just as bondage. And so he says they're arguing and fighting and fussing and all this stuff. So Paul just jumps sometimes to the good stuff. He'll wade off into the well, for lack of a better put, I'll just say doo-doo. He said dung. And finally he'll just go, golly, I think I'll talk about something else. And so he's going to talk about, he says, I say then, walk in the Spirit. You shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That'll help you. Anyway, so, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the flesh, under the law. Now, first of all, I got to tell you this. It was a punchline, but I'm going to tell the punchline, the joke earlier. Led. That word led there means, you know what that word? It doesn't mean to just take by the hand and walk. It means to be driven off, dragged off, hurried off, pushed off, shoved off in a hurry as booty prize. That's one of the literal meanings of it. In other words, the Holy Spirit has come to lay claim to you as a war prize Jesus Christ won, and He'll take you over and do it quickly if you'll let Him, or you can drag it out if you'd like. But we need to get in a hurry. Paul talks about making haste. Getting in a hurry. You can act, study to show yourself approved unto God. That word study is not study. It's King Jimmy trying to make something out of it. It's the word for hurry up. Make a point of it. And so anyway, he says this. Walk in the Spirit. Now the secret to not fulfilling the lust of the flesh is walking in the Spirit. Not trying not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Do you know we ought to learn this from the law? Trying not to do something, where does that get you? It increases the appetite for it. You got something a whole lot better to do than not sin. Now see, what he's talking about is walking in the Spirit. And then he says, the Spirit and the flesh are opposed to each other, continually opposed to each other. Now, that's a fight you stay out of. You don't get into it. The Spirit and the flesh are contrary to each other. Don't get between the Spirit and the flesh. If you get between the Spirit and the flesh, you're in the way of the Holy Spirit dealing with your flesh. Actually, you have your flesh here, and you've got your new man here, and there's a cross between the two of you. And if you go back over here to fight your flesh man,
You have made null and void and wasted the blood and body of the Lord Jesus Christ and counted it of no effect, and you're going to try to do something. He's done. And the Holy Spirit will not help you. He's arrogant that way. He won't help somebody that's trying real hard. He will only help those who have turned and walked. It takes faith. You don't need faith to fight your flesh. You need faith to turn your back on it and walk into the Spirit man. Because that ain't who you is anymore. This is who you am. That is who you was. And you had his funeral when you got baptized. That sucker's been buried. There are two forms of separation known to man. The second most powerful form of separation that we know is death. God has separated you from the God of this world and your old man by the second most powerful means of separation known to man. He has killed you dead. Death's a pretty effective separator. The first and most powerful form of separation is not death. The first and most powerful form of separation is when you walk away from your old man and refuse to address the issues he has and walk into the new man. When you walk over here, there's a fire that will sanctify you unto God. You are a living sacrifice, and he'll burn anything up on that altar that ain't what he wants. Because you can't clean up before you get on it. But he's made you an acceptable sacrifice. We think we skipped the idea of being a sacrifice. No, Jesus just made it to where you could get on the altar without messing it up. Holy and acceptable unto God. Hallelujah. That's really good news. Now, your flesh would rather die trying than try dying. So it'll look for something to do. Just give me something to do. I need help. It's shaking, bacon. I help. It wants to contribute as much as it can. It wants to take part in it. It wants to contribute to redemption. It wants to help the Holy Ghost here and there. It wants to do the job of God. Well, it can't. And so, you stay out of this fire. Over here, you've got in your flesh, you've got a record of everything that's ever happened to you. You know that? In your flesh, you've got resentment, those things that you wished it had happened that didn't happen. And those things that did happen, you wished hadn't happened. And then you got regret, those things you wished you'd have done, but you didn't. And you got remorse, those things you wished you hadn't done, but you did. And then you've got recall, the ability to rehearse it over and over again and over again. You see, the reason why we do that is trying to work it out. We just think somehow, I mean, how many times, you know, wow. Talk about it. Everything that's ever happened to you that you didn't like, there's a memorial there. And you want people to come by and bow to it and say, oh, bless your heart. That's awful. You pitiful poor. Never mind. But anyway, and so, and you have to make a big deal out of it. And they might just say, well, you're right. I probably need to walk off from it. No, I can't. I just can't let go of it. You see, I can't tell you how much psychology has crept into the church today. We believe in all this deacon down deep inside and introspection and retrospection, and you need to figure out your mama fed you too much or not enough, and your diaper wasn't changed quick enough, you got a rash, and now you're anal, and you know, you got all this stuff going on and everything. You need to get all that worked out now, and you can't get on with your future till you figured out your past. That's a lie from hell. But your flesh says, well, somebody owes me. You don't need closure. You need to close the door on it and walk on out of it and get on over into the spirit realm. And that's how you do it. It's real simple. When God wants to change people, he puts their well-being at stake and gives them promises and principles that if they want to be blessed, they keep the laws and they get the blessings. When he wants to change people, he don't give them a new set of doctrines. He gives them a brand spanking new spirit. That spirit man has no fear in it, no guilt, no shame, nothing in it. That spirit man doesn't have any past. He's all future. We're not molded by our past. We're molded by our future. Where you're headed is who you are and what you're going to be. And what you've been can't stop you from getting there because God's made sure that's over with. None of it counts against you. You're headed for a place that would blow your brain, make you jealous of anybody that was there ahead of you. It's coming. So, and I'm telling you, it's not that far away. Everything that the devil can work with in your life is over here. He has nothing to work with against you over here. All your fear and your guilt and your shame and your pride. Pride is what we try to do about our fear, guilt, and shame. You know, we try to argue with our fear. We try to tell our little guilty self, oh, now you know you're forgiven. We're trying to convince our flesh to be spiritual. It's not going. God don't talk to dead things. It might amaze you to find out God's not addressing those issues. It's the Holy Spirit's job to produce within you peace, joy. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convince you of the love of God so strongly fear looks stupid. It's the Holy Spirit's job to change you to the point. It's not you up there doing enough mental gymnastics where you believe the right stuff to the point where you have a psychological result that you think it's a little better than it was. The fruit of the Spirit is so far past mind games, it ain't funny. He can give you a peace that passeth understanding. He can give you a love that passeth understanding. You say, I don't even know how I got it, but I can't say I don't. Did I say that too fast or what? I love people and I can't help it. You, God can put a love in you don't have to try to do. When you speak the truth in love, you only speak when love won't let you keep your mouth shut. Which means you wait on the Spirit to give you what to say and when to say it. Because you're full of all kind of stuff you could say. I didn't say full of the Spirit either, did I? No. So, God's a good God. He's taken us a place that He's taken us, let me just say this. He's going to take us into the kingdom. Kingdom of God is not about your healing. It's not about your deliverance. It's not about your freedom. That's your salvation. I'm sorry to say that salvation has been stripped down. And it's our fault. It's not God's fault. We believe the lies of the devil. We've gotten to the point where salvation is basically about just getting born again, going to heaven. The rest of it's kind of, you know. I've heard people say this. I'm trying not to be negative. Paul said done. Can I say that? Is that okay? Is that not? Okay. Okay. Well, if God saved me, and if He doesn't do anything else for me, that's good enough. You self-centered, sorry, low down, it is well with my soul, everybody else is going to hell, person. That's the truth. There's a kind of faith that says, well, I'm okay. I mean, all hell can be breaking loose around you. You have no compassion for the other people. You just hope it don't get on you. That ain't it. It's crazy. It's not catching for one thing, but it is kind of selfish to say that kind of stuff. So God's called us to take up the cross. And what we're talking about, God's invited us to love the world with Him. The fellowship of God's suffering is not you suffering for your sin. It's your suffering with a God that loves this world, and you share the burden of this world. He shares it with you, and then you're able, because you're absolutely, teetotally, 100% free from all concern for yourself, because you can't love until you are. You can't love until you are. What's the opposite of love? Fear. God hates fear. And so He'll get rid of it for you. And once He sets you free from all your fear, you can love. And then you take up the cross. What is that? Oh, you know, that's what we call trespasses of the enemy. He comes in and dishes out some stuff, and we call it God's will, and say, well, that's just my cross to bear. You need to get rid of that. That's a curse. You don't need to walk under the curse of the law. You don't need to walk under the curse of anything. None of the curses own you. You're in a fallen world. I got news for you. You're not of it. You're not under it. Satan is the god of this world, and you ain't under his rule no more. The law has nothing else to say to you because you're dead, and so it's through with you. And all you have to do is walk in the fullness of joy, not just to have what God wants you to have, but so you can give what God's given to you freely, and it never runs out. So when you pick up another person's cross, all you're doing is saying, let me carry that for you a little while. Let me help you. Let me get my shoulder under it. And when you do that, what happens is they don't look at you and say, oh, ain't you sweet? If you do it in your own strength, that's what they'll say. The Bible says that if you do good works in the right way, they'll see what you do. Give all the credit to God. There's a smell about Jesus. Paul said the aroma of Christ went wherever he went. I'm telling you, when you do something in the Spirit, they might forget your name, but they'll know his.